So listen, today's Christmas, right? Yeah. Christmas Eve, I should say that. We have tomorrow, Christmas Day. I want to read a verse of Scripture from John chapter 14. Before we do that, we'll bow our heads and pray. Dear Father, we praise you. We thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for what this means to us. We thank you for the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. And Father, as we're here today, I just pray the words that I speak will fall on good soil, Lord. It'll produce in their lives 60 and 100-fold, 60, 30, and 100-fold. Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, John chapter 14, verse 27 says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be ashamed." So here we are, we're in the Christmas season, right? We're singing Silent Night, Deck the Halls, Joy to the World, What Child Is This? All these great Christmas songs, amen? Amen. And one of the things, you know, we sing these songs at Christmas time, and I just love listening to the words. We get Christmas cards, not so much anymore, it's more about Facebook cards. All right, everybody send everybody Christmas cards on Facebook. I guess if you had to send all your friends Christmas cards, it'd cost you a lot of money. So it's just cheaper on Facebook, amen? Anyway, but what I found out, there's a sad part to it because most people never experienced that peace and they're not living in the joy that Jesus promised us. The Bible says that he's the Prince of Peace and we're celebrating this day for Jesus. You know, in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, it says, "Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" Now, I want you to notice one thing about that verse of Scripture. It didn't say peace on earth. It says on earth peace. You say, well, what's the big deal? What's the difference? There is a difference. He wants on earth peace, and it's specifically designated to a certain people, to men whom his favor rests. So what it's talking about, Jesus, God, wants us to have on earth peace, and it comes because his favor rests on us. If you could understand what I'm saying. His grace. Actually, one version says, men of goodwill. You know, some Bibles say goodwill toward men, like the New King James Version says up there. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But really, it's the goodwill, and goodwill is good thinking. It comes from a Greek word, eudios, and it means to think good thoughts. Okay? So, to men whom his good thoughts rest. See, God has good thoughts about us. And we're entering this season, and so many people don't get the concept that God just loves him so much that he sent his only son into a lost and dying world. All right? And so it says here, then he said over in John chapter 14, which I just talked about, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I like the way the Living Bible says that. Why am I crackling? Throw this microphone. Joy to the world. Praise God. Anyway, the Living Bible translates John chapter 14, verse 27 this way. I am leaving you with a gift. How many of you know Jesus has a gift for you? Amen. He's the original gift giver. All right. Peace of mind and heart. I'm leaving you. He's got a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. Jesus doesn't want us to be troubled or afraid. He's got a gift for us, a gift of peace. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We're celebrating his birthday. Jesus is Sar Shalom, interesting Hebrew word. It translates the one in charge, Lord chief or general. And shalom, I know we all know that shalom means peace, but what it means is rest, tranquility, wholeness, completeness, and contentment. So Jesus is our Sar Shalom, all right? Wonderful in counsel is God, the Bible tells us. He's the mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the everlasting Father. That's what these verses are telling us. So we have this gift of Jesus Christ that was given to us on that night over 2,000 years ago, that when that baby came and the shepherds rejoiced and nobody knew what was going on. A few shepherds in a field saw the star. Nobody knew that that baby was being born in a manger someplace where they keep horses and cows and sheep. Can you say amen? It wasn't a big fanfare. There was no trumpets blowing when Jesus was born. It was a wintry night. People said, well, I thought Israel has palm trees. It does, but it also has snow. That's why if you look at our manger scene out there, you can see snow and palm trees behind it. We just want to be religiously correct. You know? Praise the Lord. It's good. But and then Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. See, Jesus is peace. What the world needs now is peace. What Christians need in their heart is peace. They need to walk in the peace that's already been given us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? You will never have peace apart from Jesus. Because peace isn't a thing. Peace is a person.
Yes, come on.
And it's the person of Jesus. Jesus says in John, again, I'm reading that verse of scripture, peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I don't know how many times people pray that I have peace. You have peace. The Prince of Peace, the General of Peace, the Head of Peace has given it to you. The Chief of Peace has given you that peace. The day you receive Jesus as your Savior, that peace is shed abroad in your heart the same way the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's important that we understand that because it's so easy to get into unrest. It's so easy to get out of peace. Just turn on the television for 10 minutes. Listen to all the stuff they're saying on television. And that just gives you unrest in your heart. But when it says in the middle of these things, Jesus promises, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You have to understand that he is the peace that's set in your heart. And no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what tribulation's happening, you still have this peace inside you. You don't have to reach out and get it. You have to reach in and bring it out.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Amen? And that's so important in this, especially the time frame we're living in right now. You know, and he doesn't give it to us as the world gives us. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, it says we have the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody say fruit of the Spirit. Well, it's the fruit of the human spirit as it's indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And in that is love, joy, peace. And I love the first three because in my experience with salvation and seeing people receiving Jesus, the first thing you often notice is they have this love when they receive Jesus. They don't know what happened to them, but something happened. You know, we sing that song, something on the inside working on the outside. Something happened. And the first thing that they experience is that love that God has for them. How could the creator of the universe love me? But he does, and we're just so overwhelmed by that love. And the second thing I noticed that shows up, they're happy. They're full of joy. You know, and joy is another thing. You know, you could make fun of them. They don't even care the minute they get saved. And then the third thing that's evident when a person receives Jesus, is peace. And that's what we have. And then along with peace goes long-suffering. That's patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But we have these things. And I say that because peace is a supernatural strength. It's supernatural. It's on the inside of you. The same way love is a supernatural strength. Joy is a supernatural strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And it's something that you just can't go out and buy at the 5 and 10. It's in you. You need to get it out from in here. And the problem is we get so overwhelmed. I'm catching a healing. Thank you. I'm going to need about a gallon of water. Anyway, what was I? So it resides on the inside of us. Why? Because Jesus resides on the inside of us. And so you need to get that peace out. But sometimes we get so overwhelmed with reality, what's happening in front of us, that we forget that we have this supernatural power on the inside of us. Amen. Kenneth Hagin Jr. used to say this anything all the time when we were in school. He goes, "You're supernaturally." Why are you supernaturally? Not because you're so beautiful, you're so strong, you're so great. You're supernaturally because the greater one lives on the inside of you, and that makes you supernaturally. It says in Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's through our Lord Jesus Christ. You won't have peace without Jesus. Impossible. You might feel good for a while. You might be, you know, a lot of people, when they get their paycheck every week, they got peace. About a half hour later, when they pay the bills, they don't have peace. You can say amen or oh me, it's the truth anyway. Right? Okay. So, but it's through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's just so many verses about peace. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For Christ," or "for him himself is our peace." Talking about Jesus. "For Christ himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." You know, I hear people say this all the time. "Now, if I could just move away, I'm just going to move to Vermont up in the mountains. I'm going to move to Colorado. I'm going to live up in the mountains. I'm going to be Jimmy Buffett and just travel the islands and just go nowhere." Well, newsflash for you. People try to get peace by moving away. Hello? Like I said before, they want to get away from the noise and clutter. It's just here. You know, but they say, if I could just get away from people, the noise, the everything, I would have peace. No, you won't have peace. Okay? Because again, peace is not the absence of something, it's the presence of someone. And that someone is Jesus. Amen. That's where our peace comes from. So you got to ask yourself, how do you get this on earth peace that we're talking about this morning? What's the requirements for that? Well, number one, you need to get born again, okay? But that way. Man. Praise God. Amen. You get the peace by getting under the lordship of Jesus. What are you talking about? Jesus, I'm saved. Yeah, a lot of people are saved, but Jesus is not Lord of their life. There's a difference. All right? They call Jesus Lord, but he's not under his lordship. They live their life their way. The way they want to do it, the way they think it should be dictated. They don't live it the way the Word of God wants them to live it. They live it the way the world lives it. You know, kind of like Frank Sinatra, my way. I mean, I love the song. But it's not your way. It's Jesus' way. That's what determines if he's really Lord of your life.
Amen.
You know, if you read in the New Testament, you find out where people called him Lord. Some of the one disciple in particular called him Lord. But all the rest of the disciples called him Master because there was a difference from being a Lord than a Master. Judas called him Lord. And Judas betrayed him. Judas didn't have no peace. The other disciples always called him Master, show us this, Master, show us that. Hello?
Amen.
You say, "This, why are you doing that?" I said, because we were home this morning, and I looked, I love gifts and all that stuff, but I looked down the floor and saw these gifts. I says, that, my friend, is the reason people are stressed over Christmas. And they've let that get in the way of the presence of Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with those things. But when they start overtaking, you lose your peace. You can say amen or oh me, it's the truth anyway. So again, Acts chapter 10, getting under the lordship of Jesus. In other words, letting him be Lord of your life every day. People get saved, they use it as a fire escape to get from hell. But you need to be Lord. You need to be Lord of your life. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel. Telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. So he is Lord of everything. You say, well, he's my Lord. Well, let me tell you something about peace and lordship. They go hand in hand. Like I said before, peace is the fruit of the living life, of living life Jesus' way. That's what peace is. When we that's when you see the fruit of the Spirit start coming out. When you start living life the way Jesus wants us to live life. Gosh. You had a cough drop. Isaiah chapter 32, verses 17 to 18. The fruit of righteousness. Okay, up here. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. Thank you. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. Everybody say peace. You know, the Bible says we're the righteousness of God in Christ. So if we're righteous, the fruit of that righteousness that's in us because of Jesus should should be peace. God says in Isaiah, he says, people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. That's what happens when you let the lordship of Jesus reign in your life and everything that you do. Amen. And then another thing we need to do is to bring Jesus into every situation in our life. Often people live two lives. Sunday we live a spiritual life. We all come to church saying hallelujah, praise the Lord, how are you, love you brother, give each other a little peck, you know, and everybody's just happy hugging in this. And then on Monday we're back to normal. Natural life. Peace is found when they come together. You can't live a double life. Revelation says, talks about people being on the fence. You can't straddle the fence and have peace, man. It's not going to work in your life. You either got to go, Jesus even said in there, he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You either got to go in or get out. Or get run over. Praise God. It says in 2 Thessalonians, and I love this, verse chapter 3, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself, give you peace. Not just on Sundays. I added that. At all times and in every way, the Lord will be with you. Why? He's in you. He lives inside of you. Brethren and sisters, for Philippians 4, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, what is ever pure, what is ever lovely, what is ever admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you learned or received or heard of me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Listen, let's read that again. Brothers and sisters, what is ever true, what is ever noble, what is ever right, what is ever pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Now, let me give you a little scenario how this works. Okay? Something might be true. Okay? It might be right. But if it doesn't, if it's not noble, if it's not pure, if it's not admirable, if there's not anything excellent about it, then guess what? Don't think about it.
Amen.
See, you might hear something about somebody. It might be true. It might be something that literally happened. But if it's going to defame that person, if it's not pure, if it's not admirable, in other words, don't talk about people.
Amen. Amen.
I'll give you my translation. If you hear something about somebody, shut up.
Amen.
Don't open your mouth. Don't go have a little prayer meet and make it a gossip session. Because you'll never have peace in your life, ever. You'll always be up against the wall. There'll always be a problem. There'll always be a challenge in your life. And it'll come on you, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Because with the same measure you give is the same measure, baby, you're getting it back. Because you get together and people start, oh, you hear about something? Oh, yeah, you know, we better pray. But before we pray, let's discuss the problem. Shut up! Oh, but you don't know what they did, man. I don't know. And I don't care. But they did it to you. I don't care. Because nothing could hurt me. Sticks and stones might break my bones, but you talk about me, I don't care. Just remember one thing, get my name right. Then it says, keep your mind on Jesus, the third part. Keep your mind on Jesus. Let the Prince of Peace invade your life, your thoughts, your praise, everything you do. That's what we have to do. That's how Sar Shalom starts operating in our life. Isaiah 26:3. God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. God will keep you in perfect peace. Why will he keep you in perfect peace? Can I ask you that? Because he dwells in you. People look for stuff on the outside to find peace and everything else. But you know, to find the answer to their problems, when the answer to your problem's right in here. I'm gonna take a side journey for a minute. Do you mind? Okay, thank you. And there was a preacher who used to do this. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. But I'm going to read you a verse of scripture here real quick. Let's see. Back one. Give me a second. Let me find it. I could quote it, but I'm looking for it. I know it's here. Unless it went away. Oh, looking in the wrong book. Wake up, buddy. Okay. James chapter 5, verse 13. I love this verse of scripture. Because a pastor friend of mine, he used to do this. Okay? And he would say, and remember, we're talking about peace. Stop looking for somebody else to get your peace, to solve your problem. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone among you cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church, and they'll anoint him with oil. So you got three things happening there. Are you suffering? The word suffering means going through something. You don't have peace, that's suffering if you don't have peace, right? Things not going your way, you're having problems with this, you're having problems with your kids, whatever it might be. He says, anybody suffering? It says, let him pray.
Amen.
What does that mean? Call up the pastor? No, it says, let him pray. You, him. Or her. Let him pray. So there's this pastor, and I guess he's gone home to be with the Lord, and he had a big church in California, and he had people come in, that people would come in for, they wanted the counseling. So he would tell them, go sit in the sanctuary. I'll be in there in 15 minutes. 15, 20 minutes ago, by he'd go in there and says, you know what, it's an emergency came up, I got to leave, come back next week. They come back next week, he'd say, sit in the sanctuary, I'll be in there in a few minutes. He'd give him about 20 minutes, go have his Starbucks, come back in, and he'd say, you know, I said I got to do something again. It's the third week they'd come, and they'd say, we don't have to counsel with you, we got the answer to our problem. We prayed.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
So it takes that. Well, why did I say that? Because it's how you get peace. When you have peace, you don't rely on other things. You rely on peace. You rely on Jesus. You rely on the Holy Ghost that's on the inside of you. And there's nothing wrong with getting advice. Don't misunderstand me, okay? Like if we do our prayer requests here, or we're not, okay? Sometimes you need agreement. You need backup. But most times it's people are going through something. And if they would just sit and seek God, because you're going to tell them, they'll tell you their problem. And you know the answer. The answer is always in the Word of God. You give them that, and they get ticked off. Kind of like Naaman. Go dunk in a river. Ah, bless God, he's a prophet. I want him to come lay hands on me. He said, go dunk in a river 7 times. That was a dirty, filthy river. You tell people, here's what the Word of God says. I bless God. So my experience is if you sit down long enough and shut up and pray, God will show you your answer.
Amen.
And then peace will reign in your life. Salvation is when you move the control of your life under the lordship of Jesus.
Amen.
Under the lordship of Jesus. That's Christianity. But if you haven't, you know, maybe there's someone here, you haven't made Jesus Christ your Lord. Well, let me tell you, you'll never have peace. Guarantee you'll never have peace. You might think you have peace. But the minute something goes sideways, you find out, wow, I don't have peace.
Amen.
So the first thing is making Jesus the Lord of your life. Not just your Savior. Salvation's the first part. Now you got to take that salvation and put it underneath his lordship. Excuse me. So with that being said, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord, remember that the child was born, Jesus was born as a baby, but the sonship of Jesus was given. And because of that, he became Sar Shalom, the one in charge of our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? So with that being said, let's bow our heads. Music ministry, why don't you come up here? Then we're going to light our candles. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a song we sing. My wife sometimes will do it on a Wednesday night called "You're So Good to Me." God, you're so good to me. He is. He is. So when I look at Christmas today, I'm grateful for the gifts and how the grandkids get all excited about gifts. But the real meaning of Christmas is Jesus. Amen. He's our peace. He's our peace. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, before we do our candle lighting service, I want to ask you this question. How many of you don't have the peace I'm talking about? I'm talking about those who are not saved. If you're not saved this morning, you can't experience the peace I'm talking about. Those that are saved and you're not experiencing that peace, you know what you have to do. You have to switch lanes. Switch from the fast lane into the Jesus lane. Amen. Make Jesus the Lord of your life every day. But if you're here this morning, you never received Jesus. You've never received Sar Shalom. The Prince of Peace. This is your opportunity. The best Christmas gift you could give yourself is making Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior. The best Christmas gift in the entire planet, in the entire world, the universe, is to make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior. And if that's you this morning and you've never said, "Lord, I'm a sinner, save me." That's all you have to say. Like I said, don't expect light bulbs to go off and fireworks to shoot in the air. No, 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 no. When Jesus was born, there were no fireworks. There was a sign in the heaven because God told shepherds long ago that was going to happen. But there was no big parade, no big anything. A few shepherds show up because they saw that light too, and they just was amazed at the light. The angel said something, came in audibly, and they saw the star and they followed it. So if you receive Jesus and you don't get a big epiphany, it's by faith. Amen. Amen? So if that's you this morning, you want to pray a simple prayer, raise your hand. We'll pray with you this morning before we light our candles. Amen. Amen. So we're going to have our candle lighting service here momentarily. But I want to read some scripture to you, okay? You say, "Why do you do this?" We do it just because He is the light. And we're to bring that light out to a lost and dying world. That's what our commission is as believers. Amen? Psalm 27 verse 1 says this. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" There's that word again. "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" John chapter 1, verse 4 to 9 says, "In him was life, and the life was in and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Let me just stop right there. People don't comprehend you. They don't know you. They don't understand you. They don't understand this Jesus you serve. Amen? So don't get offended at it. Because it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from heaven whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light." That's what we're doing. We're going to bear witness of the light. tell that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that light was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Okay. And just one more verse of scripture. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? That's us. How many put salt on your food? Why do we put salt on our food? Because some stuff, you ever eat an egg with nothing? You ever take a hard-boiled egg and just don't put nothing on it? Well, that's what happens when we walk out into the world and we've lost our luster for Jesus. We're saved, we love him, but we just, we're too... Huh? Really? We're saved, we love Jesus, but we're just not bearing that witness that we should. That's like eating an egg with no salt on it. And then he goes on, it is then good for nothing. And I don't have the rest of the verse with me, but get it. I know, every year I do the same thing with this. Like, I forget to put it in my notes. It's what happens when you... I wasn't going to say that. Happy when you're busy doing other things. All right. Okay, I'll read it out of the Bible this time. It goes, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And that's what we should be doing. That's why we're the light of the world. I know Pastor Eddie the other day, I think last Sunday, said this, and he was talking about, I don't remember what it was, but I know the illustration he gave of someone years ago who... was a Christian, walked into a bank, place of business, and things just weren't going right. Well, he forgot. His candle went out. And he ran out of salt all in 10 seconds. And unbeknownst to this person, the person who was waiting on him happened to be a relative of ours. And he read her the riot act. He used four-letter colorful metaphors. You know what I mean? And just let her have it up one side, down the other side, and walked out. About a month later, was a relative came to church and saw that person here. And so we went home, and they said, they go to church by you? Yeah. And she proceeded to tell me the story. That's not what God has for us, okay? If you can't go out there and let your light shine before people, shop on Amazon. Amen. Do online banking. But stay out of the store. Call up ShopRite, order your stuff, let them deliver it. Or be what God tells you to be. Be the light of the world. Thank you for that. Amen. So as we light these candles, I don't want to make it a ritual, but a reminder. When we light it, when you get that candle and you light it, look at it. That's you. You are the light of. I love to do it when it's pitch black. Nobody could see. It won't be that way today, but that's okay. We know the concept. Okay, He's our light. Be a reminder that we are the light. Jesus is our light. And we should go out and be lights to the world. Be kind to people. It's a fruit of the Spirit. You could turn those lights out too. He's the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 talks about love. Love's not rude and love's not ugly. It's talking to you, the Christian. How could you go out and be unlovely when the Word of God tells you to be lovely? Hello? Am I talking to the tree? Tree, am I talking to you? Be something if that angel answered me, huh? But you understand, how can we claim to be a Christian and we go out and do exactly the opposite? That's not the law. People say, oh, you're trying to... That's not the law. That's just... That's the nature that was saved, that mean nature. But you don't know, people rub me the wrong way. Too bad. You got one command. Love them. Not reprimand them. Somebody in the store doesn't treat you right. The best thing you can do and the worst thing for them is not to react and say, God bless you, and leave. That'll grate against them. If 50 people came in that day and she's mean to 50 people or he, and 50 people did that same thing, something got to rub her. You know, something got to get to her sooner or later. Amen? All right. So anyway, let our light shine before those who are in the lost and dying world. And let us walk in our authority. I said this before, and then our Father been in heaven. I said this before. We are a prophetic word in the earth today. Every believer is a prophetic word. Well, what is that prophetic word? That prophetic word is very simple. We represent Jesus who was prophesied to come and save the world. So the minute you say you're a born-again Christian, you serve Jesus, you just spoke a prophetic word that, yes, you believe he came into this earth. So we can never let... Here's another thing where we lose our peace. Again, we're talking about losing our peace. We let the world dictate to us. We let the world influence us. And in some cases, we let the world change us. Instead of us dictating to the world, influencing the world, and changing the world. Amen. It works the opposite way. We are salt to season and light for darkness. That's what we are. So, again, tonight it's just not out of... out of tradition that we do this, or ritual. Big one. Right, yeah. All right. So, we're sent forth as the light of the world today. We're set forth as salt in the earth today. I know many people in the next day or so, you're going to have all your relatives over, all your enemies. I mean, I didn't say that, but you're going to have all your... I just want to tell you, don't talk about politics. Talk about Jesus. Because some people like to try to mix politics and Jesus together. And brother, that's napalm right there. That's just napalm right in the happen. So don't talk about politics. Talk about Jesus. You know, and if they get mad at that, well, it's their problem. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Ushers. Everybody, we're going to light our candles this morning. Praise the Lord. Come over here. You got something you want to play there, brother?
Yeah.
Want to wait till they're done? Just strum in the background and play it when we're done. Okay? And you could close it out.